My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Friday. It's your sports bros, Romp and Sook. What's up? I'm Romp.
Right, dude.
And Big Sook's right over there.
Yep.
You know, we are partying here, but we are not going to have Joey Harrington on the show today.
No. Be a Harrington-less.
He doesn't want to party. Now. He's out today, but we will talk about breakdancing, and I saw a little something.
Have we ever talked about breakdancing on this program?
I don't think so. Did you breakdance when you were younger, like all the kids?
I probably attempted it a time or two.
Is there a chance you talked about it when they announced it would be added to the Olympics?
I think there's a better chance that we talked about breaking to Electric Boogaloo at some point. Maybe when Turbo died. That happened recently. Or no, the guy that played Ozone. I think we may have talked about it then. And I'm trying to remember if I ever attempted to breakdance. I know I attempted to do a Michael Jackson thing when I was like 5 at one point. I remember that my mom, I got my mom to make me a Michael Jackson sequin glove. She took a white glove and then like bedazzled it for me.
Yeah, she did.
And I remember rolling around Gresham.
Now that's love.
Yeah. I remember rolling around Gresham on my big wheel.
Please tell me there are photos of you in this glove.
We weren't a big photo family. I think by the time I came around, my parents didn't care anymore. But I do remember rolling around Battaglia Street, Gresham, Oregon. Shout out, Huntington Honey Bears. That was the elementary school.
Founded by the Italians.
And I would roll around on my big wheel, and I would wear my Michael Jackson glove. And I thought I was the coolest kid in that neighborhood. I had the big wheel with the e-brake, throwing cookies on that thing.
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. Not to be confused with that bastard green machine. Although my parents didn't love me enough because I wanted the Rambo cycle, which was a big wheel, but was painted black and had a gun on the front of it.
Come on, man. She made you a Michael Jackson glove. But what more do you want?
I couldn't get the Rambo cycle.
Now you're being spoiled, baby. Spoiled brat.
I'm not sure how the juxtaposition would work with a Michael Jackson glove while attempting to ride a Rambo cycle with a Rambo headband, which I also wore. It was a confusing time for me when I was young.
All right, also this hour, is there anything Coke can't do?
No. No, it can't.
And Jake Dickert, the Washington State coach, has stopped whining, and he actually has some good ideas.
Really?
Yeah. Saw an article on him today that I want to bring to your attention. I tell you what, something happened today. You know, I'm talking about the club content tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Worst effing nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, did you see the national news today?
I was paying attention. I mean,
All right, well, you'll...
national news.
Well, yeah.
I'm wondering what this is.
Well, it's not even national. It's international news. It happened somewhere else, but it's just worse nightmare fuel.
I've recently changed my standard news.
Newsmax now?
Well, I used to just, when I would log on.
OAN guy.
When I logged on to the computer, do you have like one, that your home screen that it goes to?
No, actually.
Because I was just always brought up, it was just MSN was mine. It gave me a nice, big, broad overview of what's happening.
I don't like MSN.
I can't do it. I'm out.
Yahoo used to be not mine. Now it's just blank.
I've punted on MSN. I can't.
Their stories are stupid.
Too many ridiculous, just dumb stories. Yeah. And I have recently made the switch over to Yahoo. My computer now pulls up Yahoo.
Yahoo's a little better.
And I did not see any sort of giant international kerfuffle, so I'm interested in what you speak
well,
of.
Well, it's not really a kerfuffle. It's just something that happened. It's just terrifying, okay. And there's video, and it's awful.
Right. Oh, I might have seen this.
So that in the club tonight, along with boob news, right now the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh. Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on the fan by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorricos.com.
Number five.
Yeah, the Patriots are releasing receiver Juju Smith-Schuster. Damn. This after just 1 year. As Bill Barnwell wrote, they spent $16 million for 29 catches.
Yep. And remember at one point, dude, he was the guy in Pittsburgh and was viewed as this up-and-coming, you know, player, and it didn't necessarily work out great in Kansas City, and they're going to eat $7 million, and so they're just eating $7 million for him to go away, which just goes to show you, man.
Dude, you can't TikTok like that.
Well, this league, it chews you up and spits you out so fast, and a lot of it is the situation that you end up in, and 1 minute you're on top, and the rest, the very next, you're out of the league. I mean, at one point, that second year in Pittsburgh, he had 111 receptions and 7 touchdowns. And here we are, we're like 6 years later, and he's out of the league.
Patriots did beat the Panthers last night, 17-3. Do you care to guess how many punts we had in that game?
I don't know, 16, 17?
18.
I don't know punts.
How about that?
So good.
Also, some preseason action tonight. The your Ravens.
Oh, I've got it on right now.
They're taking on the Eagles. It is 7-3 Philly.
Not sweating it because some of us have a money line bet on the Baltimore Ravens.
Wait, some of us do.
Sorry, it's 6-3 Eagles. Texans lead the Steelers 14-0, and the Dolphins and Falcons are currently tied 10-10. This game's all in the second quarter.
Yeah, I'm interested. Penix, by the way, 9-16, 104 yards.
Nice.
I've been trying to keep an eye on what's going
Justin
on.
Justin Fields also starting in Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah. He's the guy because Russ is still battling the calf injury.
Florida State and the ACC expected to enter mediation next week over their legal dispute. The Noles want to leave the league. The ACC is showing no signs of settling. Should the mediation work, which there is no guarantee, it would likely mean a negotiation of exit fees.
Yeah, because right now the exit fee is like $300 million. So I'm not even sure how all that works. So we'll see what happens, but they're determined to get out of there.
Number three.
Shams leaks the NBA's Christmas Day schedule. We've got 5 games. Starts with the Spurs and Knicks at Madison Square Garden, then T-Wolves, Mavs in Dallas. The best game could be Sixers, Celtics in Boston. Then it's out west for Lakers, Warriors, and Nuggets, Suns.
And yet no one will be watching because we'll all be watching whatever the NFL puts on Christmas Day.
Well, I can tell you they have 2 great matchups on Christmas Day. Both of these NFL games, by the way, will be on Netflix. 10 a.m., Chiefs visit the Steelers. And at 1:30, the Texans host the Ravens.
Sorry, NBA, but I will not be watching whatever the hell you're throwing out there. I've already forgotten what games you have. Welcome to the world of the NFL.
This just in, the NBA now trying to dominate Christmas Eve instead of...
Yeah, it might be time to move off of...
Ah, the day after Christmas. That's the day we meant.
Pivot!
Number two.
Ah, yes. Number two.
Who does number two work for?
A clutch base clearing double from Mitch Haniger in the bottom of the ninth last night lifted the Mariners back into a tie atop the AL West.
Was it a double or was it an error?
Well, they call
they
it a
gave
double.
Him a hit with an error, but that was a pretty egregious hit with an error.
It wasn't good. But either way, that was a big win because you didn't want to get swept.
The Mariners are saying Julio Rodriguez is hitting and running bases, and he could be back as early as next week. The Mighty Mets invade the pink tonight.
That's right.
Meanwhile, the Astros are at Fenway. Last I checked, Boston was up 2-1 in the early innings. See if I can get you an update on that.
Still says 2-1, middle of the fourth.
Yeah. What else? Oh, first Major League Baseball game ever will be played in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, they're going to play it at the NASCAR, right? Bristol, right?
Yeah, Braves and Reds will meet at Bristol Motor Speedway in August of 2025. One other baseball note, the Portland Pickles have a home playoff game on Sunday. It will be at 6 o'clock at Walker Stadium against the hated Bend Elks.
Those sons of bitches. I hate the Elks so much.
Pickles with a record-setting 40-win season.
Pickles are greatness. Those are fun games out there.
And I always thought elk was both singular and plural. It's Elks.
Did I say Elks?
Well, I think they're called the Elks. That's what it says in the email, yeah, but I just think that seems wrong.
Yeah, it is. It's the Bend Elks. It's the Bend Elks Baseball Club. But there's the Elks Club.
There is the Elks Club. I always just thought elk was like moose, that it's singular and
plural. So you know more than the Bend Elks and the Elks Club?
No, I do not. I'm just questioning it. It's my job.
U.S. women's basketball wins their 60th straight at the Olympics.
Seems pretty good.
They disposed of Australia 85-64 in the semifinals. Gold medal game Sunday. And you know what? I'm going to have to go to Buck on this. I didn't see who they were going to play.
Just like the men's bracket, it'll be host nation France.
France, okay. Also today, Sha'Carri Richardson's magical final leg lifted the U.S. to gold in the 4x100-meter relay.
Not that anyone was noticing, but she looked spectacular, all sinewy and wet in the rain. Just stay.
If you need a highlight for the day, that is the one to watch. It was awesome.
Yes.
Men's 4x1-meter relay did not go so well. They were DQ'd after a handoff error. They haven't found the podium in that event in 20 years.
That's crazy. It's like snake-bitten.
And in Olympic men's soccer, in case you care, Spain has taken the gold after they beat France.
Nah.
5-3.
Yeah.
You do not care.
I don't care. We're not involved. Whatever.
Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Order now at victorricos.com. Hey! Jake Dickert is done being a little bitch.
Well, thank heavens.
Pretty interesting thoughts from him that I read today. We'll talk about those next on The Fan. Oh, yes, the Rump Shaker. What a fine hit.
Wreck and Effect,
all I
baby.
Do is I'm a zoom zoom.
And a boom boom.
Wrecks and Effect, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
I remember my 90s hip hop.
High level lyrics.
You are not mistaken.
I'm not sure that Wrecks and Effect ever did anything again. Hopefully they were wise with their money.
Well, now, they appear on this show about once a week.
Is it Wrecks and Effect or is it Wreck and Effect?
I thought it was Wreck and Effects.
Oh. Mm. Let's get some clarification.
Like we're going to have to go to the interwebs.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rex.
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 With an X. And Effect.
An Effect. There's no S.
I thought Rex and Effect.
Okay. Wonder what they're doing now.
So you can see the five stages of grief in Jake Dickert's behavior over the last year and a half.
Oh, 100%.
And if you don't know what the five stages of grief are, it starts with denial. Then it's anger, and we've seen a lot of that from him. Then it's bargaining, followed by depression and acceptance. And it appears that Jake Dickert has found his way to acceptance.
Well, that's good. That's when the healing process can begin.
That's right. So I saw this article in the Spokesman Review.
I don't think you went there.
From Spokane, Washington.
Because that is a pay. That is an like a what do you like a paywall?
That's how you
behind
say it, right? Spokane, Washington.
Spokane. Yeah, there's a paywall behind that. So
that paper was established in 1883.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Seems like a that's.
There is not a paywall behind this. I don't know why. Really? I was able to read it.
Oh.
And I'm glad I was because it's provided some show content. So we have to give credit to Dave Bowling.
Way to go, Dave.
Who is a columnist at the Spokesman Review.
I always think of the great Theo Lawson.
Yeah.
We've had on the program a time or two. He used to cover the Cougs for the...
What's he doing now?
I don't know. I don't know if he's still at the Review or not.
Okay. Yeah, still at the Review.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Well, shout out to the great Theo Lawson, even though, you know, Dave,
shout out.
Even though Dave gets the credit for this.
Well, Dave caught up with Dickert, mm-hmm. and, you know, we, I think Dickert is kind of a red ass, but again, what football coach isn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
He had a tough circumstance there.
I don't know how good he is. Yeah, exactly. But I felt like, and we've talked about this before, the Beavers and the Cougs initially, particularly Dickert, they were awful whiny. Look, it sucked. Okay?
Yes.
But the way not to handle it is to just sit and bitch about it.
Yeah.
And he's a leader of young men. Like, mm-hmm. we get it. It sucks. Yep. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah. And he was always complaining about NIL yes. and all that. And like, hey.
Always complaining. It's... I mean, I love him, but what a bitch. Well, there you go. Yeah, and I don't even know that I love Jake Dickert.
That about sums it up. I like Coach Dickert.
I don't know
gonna,
how
I'm
good
not
he is.
Say that I love him, but he's, you
that,
know.
He's fine. Whatever. Well, anyway.
He's got a beautiful family.
He, Bowling sat down with him. And he said he has a, Jake Dickert has a nimble mind.
Okay.
And he said he just caught him at a good time because it's the middle of summer. And he was asking him about how you fix college football. And he, Bowling said that Dickert's answer was so good that he had to write a column about it.
Okay. I'm intrigued. Can I also, before you get into how he solves I guess fixes college football. Can mm-hmm. I ask a dead serious question?
You may.
Is college football broken?
Well, I think from Jake Dickert's perspective, it probably is.
Because no offense, everyone that claims that college football is broken, there's more interest than ever. Numbers are up. Revenue's up. Eyeballs are up. Players are empowered now. They're getting paid. We're moving out of the dark ages as far as the stupid NCAA regulations, which no one followed anyways. So, again, I ask the question, what needs to be fixed? I mean, tweaked? Sure. But these college football is broken people, I'm going to need some proof of receipt here on what's broken.
He says, okay, this I'm just going to read it to you. He chuckles at the question as if warning me that he had put his mind to the issue already. After all, it is his life work. Life's work. Mm-hmm. Quote, I think the first thing that needs to happen is the NCAA needs to break into three divisions.
Okay.
The football division, men's and women's basketball divisions, and an Olympic sports division.
That actually makes sense.
You have to run and operate those things with three different viewpoints. We're all trying to fit into the same homogenous pots when those are really three different ventures. However that looks, I think we need to be able to govern ourselves in our realm as a money-making revenue sport.
Well, dare I say...
Pretty good so far.
That's pretty good. Even though I don't agree that college football is broken, I like what he's doing there. Because that does make... I'm a common sense guy, and that does make common sense because those are absolutely three very, very different entities. I think he's simplifying it because he's trying to include all college football programs together. Wrong.
He's not done yet. Okay. Hold on. So he says, for too long, he said the NFL has avoided sharing any revenue with college football.
Oh my God.
Which serves as its minor leagues. He sees an upper division being created where, say, the top 40 schools create an NFL-type deal with maybe four 10-team regional leagues that do their own thing. For now, he sees Washington State fitting in the next division. I would love to see it go back to a little more amateurism, maybe with some NIL stuff included. I think that would be really cool for Washington State to have a chance to go win a national championship at that division if you invest. I think that would be phenomenal, but there's a lot of work on how the revenue streams get sorted out to compensate the athlete the right way. So he's saying
you lost me.
Oh, you don't like what he's saying, or you don't understand what he's saying?
Well, both. I think it's absolutely ridiculous.
It started out okay, and by the end, it sounds like an absolute pipe dream.
And also, let me just say for the record, that anything that you talk about when you're saying that the NFL is going to share some money with you, that's adorable. Like, really? Yeah, you know what I really think would be awesome? If the NFL took some of their $13 billion and gave it to us. Why don't you call the NFL, and I'm sure they'll get right on that and be like, hey, you know what we'd really like, guys? You know, we make all this money, and we just have so much of it. We'd like to give it to you to be our minor league system when, for all time, you just have been our minor league system, and you will continue to be our minor league system, and we don't have to pay for it. That's a great, great model.
So let's see if he gets you back here.
All right.
Okay, so he says... This reads, if Dickert were in charge, he also would align the football schedule with the college class timeline. He said, quote, I would love to see games start being played in mid-August. There's nothing on TV, and you could play games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday the last 2 weeks in August. That allows Thanksgiving weekend to be the first round of a 28-team playoff. You would do away with the conference championships. These teams have 18 teams in their leagues, and they play eight? How do you get a conference champion out of that schedule? That August window would add great exposure value to college football. In terms of recruiting and the transfer portal, Dickert works closely with program general manager Rob Schlager. He's the most detailed, articulate, and well-thought-out planner, and we do tons of stuff together. Dickert described the current state of college sports as Moneyball, citing the book and movie about the A's becoming competitive by using analytics to combat fiscal disadvantages. College football is now Major League Baseball, unsalary capped, he said. The guys with money can spend it. If you're Oakland and you develop Jason Giambi, you're going to lose him to the Yankees. Mm-hmm. In this analogy, Washington State is Oakland. He says, same with us. Who's going to be here? How are you going to develop them? In the transfer portal, you've got to find the guy who has certain metrics, but he gets overlooked and he comes to you. In the process, the importance of effective roster building has been exponentially increased. Players with unlimited free agency may seem like commodities, but they can't be treated as such. You have to talk to players about controlling their environment and having realistic expectations. Dickert said the talented quarterback, Cam Ward, provided the prime example, and honest communication was key. He says, you've got a 21-year-old kid trying to do his best every Saturday, and that drastically matters to his future. What I want to do is take the pressure off. Cam, I am with you. Let's talk about it. Let's have these conversations and make sure this is not a weight on your shoulders. Of course, he transferred to Miami. Mm-hmm. Dickert, he transferred to Miami for what they say is life-changing money.
Yeah. A couple million bucks.
Dickert agreed with this, and he said that the move was the right thing for him to do. Dickert took over late in the 21 season amid coaching chaos, a pandemic, and a national athletic enterprise erasing its long-held set of rules. Through it all, his Cougs have gone 15-16. Of course, everything about college sports could change within the next week, but Dickert may already have a plan outlined for such things. Mm. So did he get you back at all?
No.
With any of that?
No. I mean,
he understands that they're Oakland.
Yeah, he understands that they're Oakland, and... You know, I appreciate what he's coming from, but again, this is my thing, is he's talking about a system that's broken, but it's only broken for a handful of teams, and he happens to be one of them. Like, but I do think it's interesting when he's talking about the division thing, but again, if you ask Washington State fan, do you want to go down to a division where you're not playing Oregon and not playing Ohio State? We've talked about that before, and fans freak out about that. Washington State fan doesn't want that.
Everyone wants a seat at the table.
Everyone
always
wants a seat at the table. And if you do go down to that, then there is no money involved in it. I mean, if you don't like the amateurism, or if you want to go back to the amateur model, then you eventually become the Ivy League. And even if you say there's some NIL money in it, if you're playing for, you know, a Montana-esque, and that's where you're going to go, I actually don't think that that's a terrible thing for Washington State. I don't think it's a terrible thing for Oregon State. I don't think it's a terrible thing for a lot of those schools that really don't have a chance to compete at the highest level. Convince your fans and your alumni of that. So I don't know. That's just as interesting that to me, you know, he spent all this time talking about complaining about the kind of, you know, getting left out in the cold and it changing. And now you're basically saying we're fine just playing at a, I don't know, at the kids' table.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
It's a bit strange to me.
But I think what he's saying is if you have a 28-team playoff, you still got a chance that route.
So he's saying that the little kid table still gets to play up with the big boys?
I think that's what he's saying. I mean, if he's saying 10 or 4 10-team leagues, yeah, that's 40 teams. Surely he can't think that they're one of those 40. So he's talking about the next division down. But if you have a 28-team playoff, it's not going to be 28 of the 40 that's in the.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the, I mean, come on.
And again,
I think what he's saying is the top teams from the 40 go, and then the rest of the spots are filled with all these other.
I mean, I'm open to people having discussions, but I would like them to be based in reality. And the moment you started talking about the NFL paying for college football, you just never got me back. But I do appreciate the fact that he realizes the unique challenges that exist amongst, you know, schools like Washington State. And I do feel bad for him, because I think what happened to Washington and Oregon State is very unfair. And hopefully it gets corrected. And they end up in the Big 12, and they end up in the ACC, and you do have a place at the table, and it's not the Big 10, and you're never going to be on par with the Ohio States, but you never were. You never were on par. It's just that every time I talk to a fan base, over the years, they tell you, would you rather be the little guy playing with the big boys, but still having that opportunity, or go be the Montana, go be the big boy, or North Dakota State? I've never once heard any support for going down and playing at a reduced level.
But isn't that what he's saying, though?
That appeared to be what he was saying to me, which I thought was very, very interesting coming from a coach of a program and a fan base that has spent the last year plus bitching about getting left out of the grown-ups.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's pretty refreshing, and maybe he's got acceptance.
But also, you need to get so many people on board with that. And if like Sook's saying, if everybody's been pushing the other direction, no, we need to stay part of this group instead of, we're okay being part of this other group. I just don't know that you can get enough buy-in from everybody.
No, it's just, I don't know. I just think that, again, there's a lot of people that come to the table with unrealistic ideas. And, you know, like, that's unrealistic ideas are often the best ideas because they sound amazing. Hey, everyone's going to get a really cool house. Everyone's going to get a great job. No one's going to get sick. No one's going to die. No more crime in the streets. No more homeless people. We're going to solve the drug problem. But that's not reality. In order to do these sorts of things, you actually need ideas that the Washington States of the world may be on board with, but also the Ohio states of the world need to be on board with. And, you know, so you just lose me when you get into these kind of, I don't know, pie in the sky, radical transformation things. It was like, there was a group not too long ago that was trying to put together a new model of college football. It was like Arizona was involved with it. You remember we were talking about this, and they got some, they had some backers. They were assembling like some
was this the private equity thing?
No, it wasn't the private equity thing. There was a group that got together, and they had some old NFL execs that were involved in it, and they got some former ADs of the college football world, and they were talking about like a radical shift in college football. I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yeah, but I do remember that.
You remember that?
I thought that was they were a private equity group. That was the group talking about ushering in private equity.
Maybe that's what it was. And they, maybe it did involve private equity.
It had
equity.
Like a Florida State alum in it.
And they were talking about this radical shift and how it was going to, like, it was going to change college football for the better. And everyone was, you know, more money for everybody, and everyone was going to be raised up. And we were all sitting here looking at it and being like, why would anyone that's atop of college football do this? And like, it was like, well, this would be so great for so many people. And I'm like, yeah, but there's only like really 30 schools that matter in the world of college football. And the Big Ten was already threatening to, and the SEC were already threatening to break away. So why would Ohio State and Alabama and these schools that are making hundreds of millions of dollars and basically guarantee themselves a spot at the table, and the system works just phenomenally for them, why would they in any shape or form agree to something that lessened their control, lessened their authority, lessened their power for basically no more money? Like that just doesn't make any sense.
Was that Redbird Capital? And they had this deal of...
That's what I'm thinking of.
They had this deal called Collegiate Athletic Solutions.
Something like that.
Yeah, they're basically just talking about infusing private equity into college football.
No, but this was a grander plan. This guy was just talking about putting private equity into a handful of programs. The other one was literally trying to transform college football, and they were going around and trying to get like college football leaders to kind of get on board with this and make a push. And they had a couple old NFL execs, and they had like a group, and there was a name behind it, and they were trying to push for this new college football model. And it just made zero sense to anyone that actually has
a brain
authority.
All right. Joey Harrington will not join us today. So in his place, we discuss breakdancing. Here's Buck.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
All right, if you're tuning in for the great Joey Harrington, he is not here. At least, we think.
What?
Yeah, maybe he calls in. I don't know.
Probably not. He's off.
We think!
He's doing... What is he doing, Buck?
At the coast with family.
He can't take 10 minutes out of his coastal time to come into the program?
Whatever.
Well, maybe he can't take a half hour.
Well, all we would ask him about is breakdancing anyway.
Yeah.
And you and I got that covered.
Japan with the first ever breakdance gold medal, and let me tell you, he's happy about that. BTJ.
Yeah, I think it's so weird that breakdancing is part of the Olympics.
And it's just the dumbest thing. Like, I was skeptical of it, and then I watched it this morning, and I was like, yeah.
It's worse than you even think.
It's worse than I thought.
Well, it's improvisational. It has a DJ, and it's really the only event where it's acceptable to basically try to psych out your opponent.
Yeah, they're like... They like battle. They're like the competitors are there facing each other.
Yeah, it's one on one.
And apparently, you don't have to be able to break dance because the Australian broad is in the dumbest outfit I've ever seen in my entire life. And some of them are like dressed like you would break dance in the street, and other ones are wearing like silver sneaker warm up like jumpers, like you'd walk around the Lloyd Center in the morning with.
The Australian gal looked like she'd be playing cricket in that.
And then she just went into some sort of body convulsion.
Her name is B-Girl Reagan.
Yeah, she's terrible.
And if you have not seen her, she has gone viral for her bit today.
She just kind of flops around the ground like a fish out of water.
And it raises the question, are these really the best in the world at this?
I would just like to say this, and I don't mean this in a racial way, but it's going to be racial.
Uh-oh.
And I don't care. I didn't see a single black person in this entire competition. How is that possible? I don't know if this is racist, but it probably is. I'm being dead serious.
Could you mix in a black?
Am I wrong in that the African-American community invented breakdancing? They made two great movies about it, Breakin' and Breakin' 2. How are we having the Olympics and there's no black people?
Come on!
What are we doing? And you're telling me that B-Girl Reagan, that was the best that Australia had to offer? Because if that's the case... then Australia should never be allowed in the breakdancing Olympics ever, ever again.
Yeah, so perhaps... DJ Kool Herc, a Jamaican DJ based in the Bronx, is widely credited for creating breakdancing in the early 70s.
So, and now we just, this is what we've got. This is the best in the world.
So that was the question I was asking you. I assume you are saying that you don't believe that these are the best in the world at breakdancing.
I believe that there is an 11-year-old black kid in Brooklyn right now that's better than every single person. Have you, like...
We'll sign him up for the Olympics.
Exactly. Like, we got, like, little 9-year-olds in the X Games. Like, the
this
Chinese
might bring breakdancing back.
Exactly. Just, like, you can go down to Los Angeles when you're walking around, and there's kids breakdancing in San Francisco and Los Angeles on street, Pier 39 in San Francisco. Better breakdancing than what I saw today in the Olympics.
Well, I will say, they have great names. They have names such as Lil Zoo, B-Boy Victor, B-Boy Static, Bumblebee.
B-Boy Bumblebee?
Well, yeah, I think they're all B-Boy or B-Girl.
Well, yeah, I just, B-Boy Bumblebee sounds more fun.
And then you have Kid Columbia, Lil Kev.
Oh, Lil Kev.
Love me some Lil Kev.
Yeah. B-Boy Phil Wizard and B-Girl Logistics.
With an X?
With an X.
Yeah.
Did any of them not suck? Because everything I saw today was embarrassing.
What would be your breakdancing name?
Big Sook.
B-Boy Biggie, B-Boy Big J.
Biggie Sooks. I mean, this is just...
We'd have B-Boy Buck.
There you go.
For sure.
You couldn't be any worse than what I saw today.
B-Boy Buck Breaker.
Hell although, yeah.
Although BTJ was very excited because the Japanese guy won the first ever gold medal. And little known fact about my sweetheart, BTJ, former breakdancer, hip-hop dancer.
She's a B-girl?
She was part of a dance crew in Japan.
Wow.
B-girl BTJ.
Yeah, B-girl BTJ, yeah. She was part of a dance troupe. She was part of a hip-hop dance troupe. And the only time that you can get her, she will not speak of this. She will not break it out. But you got to get her about, you got to get about 4 drinks in her.
Tie one on a little bit.
And then get a nice beat going. When we were in St. Lucia, we were at a block party, and she threw down. There was a guy, like, kind of running the block party in St. Lucia, and he was working the crowd. And I was like, hey, why don't you have another rum and, you know, rum and pineapple? And she was like, oh, I'm a little tipsy. It's all right. Just have one more. Just one more. And then before I knew it, she's out there throwing down. Oh, yeah. B-girl BTJ would be out there throwing in.
I feel like it should be, it'll be big time Japanese, but with the time sold to the Y,
yeah.
You know, make it hip.
Yeah. And she did say that and this was weird. We were talking about the Olympics. You know, the two events that she cared the most about, synchronized swimming and breakdancing. Those were her two big that she wanted
Why
to see.
Why synchronized swimming?
I don't know, but she was like blown away by it.
I haven't seen any synchronized swimming at all.
Yeah. And when
was it over? Who won?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, I don't care.
Exactly. The one I've seen the last couple days that is actually kind of fascinating is some of the rhythmic gymnastics. Have you seen those ladies throwing the ball around?
The one gal bounced the ball with her back.
Yeah, but in general, it's a lot more athletic than I remember it being, and it's pretty fascinating.
Yeah. I didn't know you could choose whatever you wanted, because there's like a ribbon, there's a ball.
You can do a hoop, and there's like sticks that you can like almost like juggling sticks.
Again, I don't understand why that's in the Olympics, but it was interesting, but... I tried to give breakdancing a shot, and that is the dumbest thing to ever be in the Olympics.
Yeah, the other thing about the breakdancing, if you didn't see it, is goading is sort of part of the culture.
Yeah.
So they have hand signals. So as the other guy or gal, B-boy or B-girl, watches the other one breakdance, they have hand signals to talk trash about the moves that their opponents make.
Yeah.
So you have to, if you're in the culture, you understand the hand signals. Otherwise, they just look like they're, like, calling a play.
Sure. Like with a wristband. Red panties.
So those are signals that are widely known throughout the breakdown? Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so, like, if you tap the floor, like, you've stole... I'm going to get this wrong, but I read an article on this. Like, if you tap the floor, you've stolen that from some... That guy thinks you've stolen that.
Oh, wow. You got served!
Yeah, exactly. And then everybody's like, oh, woo!
And just,
burn.
You take that?
Burn, B-boy.
What else you got?
You can't breakdance in easy striders and a tucked-in shuffleboard outfit. You just can't do it. You just, that's not okay.
And that was B-girl Ray Gun.
B-girl Ray Gun.
I like her.
She deserves every bit of mockery that she's getting.
I think she was great.
That was an absolute sham.
To me, it was beautiful. It was interpretive. It was groundbreaking.
Well, you know what?
No.
It was earth-shattering.
Strong. No.
This is like baseball from the 1910s.
It was courageous.
It doesn't matter because there were no black people.
It was not courageous.
No. There were no black people, which means that this breakdancing championship, it's null and void. It's like this Ty Cobb out there hitting like 950 because he's playing against some fat white guy with like a drinking problem. Doesn't work. Ridiculous.
It was brave.
And did you see the little person from, I think it was from Lithuania?
It was like heroic.
The little white kid with the do-rag on. Did you see what was happening there?
Valiant.
No.
Yeah, Nika. Look up that. It was a whole thing.
Bold.
No.
I saw the 49-year-old skateboarder. That was pretty rad.
Yeah.
We talked about him. He's an American, right?
I think he's Australian.
Well, then I hate him.
Where's Snoop Dogg during this whole thing? Was he involved in this? Because I think he would be ashamed.
I don't know. He's making his cool half a million a day somewhere.
Mm. Yeah. It was not a good day for... When you're trying to... Like,
yeah, he's from U.S.
When you're trying to legitimize your sport and... Ray Gun here, B-Girl Ray Gun or whatever, you... you got to put your best foot forward. Like, there's no way this is allowed back in after this, right? The Olympic Committee is going to look at this and be like, yeah, we can't.
Can they do a one and done with it?
I certainly Does that happen? Think so. So you're telling me baseball doesn't belong. You're trying to get rid of wrestling, but this is allowed?
Check that. He's South African, Buckley.
Mm. Ah, green and yellow colors.
Yeah. All right. I've got a couple of other Olympic notes. We'll wrap up the hour. Is there anything that Coke can't do? Mm. And I've got a Noah Lyles update that may sway you on his bronze in the 200 meters.
And his need for a wheelchair?
His COVID bronze?
Yes, it was a very COVID-y bronze. That's next on The Fan.
It's time for a Ducks Report, the inside story on Oregon athletics, brought to you by Mods PDX. The future of building is here.
Well, it can't always be good news. A historic run has come to an end. Jada Ross, our Oregon Ducks shot put thrower, just finishes short of the medal stand. She finished fourth in the women's shot put.
Loser.
Yeah, well, wow. She's a duck. We still love her.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about a South African.
No. American duck, Jada Ross. Yes. Almost getting at the podium in the Olympics. Mm-hmm.
Non-loser, almost winner. How about that?
She's a national champ. She has won before.
Exactly.
I need a gold.
Yeah, we all do.
No, she didn't get it. She got the copper.
Mods PDX, the future of building is here.
My eyes are very important to me.
Private eyes, get it?
Got it.
The club is next. Hey, a couple more Olympic notes. Mm-hmm. One is that Noah Lyles, now we were talking about him being wheeled off after running the 200 meters with the COVIDs.
Yeah, he took bronze, collapsed, and then they meat wagoned him off, which we thought was a bit much.
Yeah, well, our assessment yesterday was, look, if you have the energy to run and complete and win the bronze in the 200 meters at the Olympics, you have the energy to walk back to the locker room.
Yeah, I went as far as say the only two excuses for the meat wagon off is you've crapped yourself a la Paul Pierce, acceptable, and we're going to need something sticking out of the skin. You snap a femur. Hey, man.
Yeah, so.
I get it.
When you have the COVID, you don't really know. I mean, everybody gets a different level of severity, right?
Yeah.
So we don't know how severe his COVID was, but now we're learning that he had 102-degree fever.
Mm-hmm.
Does that change
no.
to you how you feel about him?
No, he ran the 200 meters.
Well, no, I'm saying not the wheelchair thing. I'm saying, does that change the fact that, dude, he won a bronze.
It's pretty badass.
In the Olympics with a 102-degree fever. That is not that easy to do.
No. When you got a 102-degree fever, you feel absolute crap.
You don't want to do anything.
No.
And so I don't know. I just think that's kind of pimp.
Yeah.
But it doesn't change the wheelchair thing.
No, I don't like the wheelchair thing. I'm sticking by that. You can't do that. But the 102 bronze medal, I'm not going to say that's more impressive than the 100 gold because, dude, you won gold, but that's a hell of an effort right there. Because you know, you got 102. We've all had that feeling of whether it's COVID or the flu or whatever, where you just feel like you're in slow motion. You feel like absolute crap. And my man went out there and did that. It was like the Jordan flu game. But I mean, Jordan had to play like 40 minutes. At least in that, you only have to run for like whatever it is, 20 whatever seconds. But still, it's an amazing accomplishment.
Yeah, I agree.
Much respect.
Yeah, that's pretty pimp, dude.
My man Noah Lyles.
He was really sick.
Yes.
Okay, so
Or is he just making that up?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Where's the test? I need the thermometer.
The other one that I want to tell you about real quick is it involves Coke.
Now, the good kind of Coke or the awesome kind of Coke?
Well, I think that depends on your perspective,
Jason.
Well,
that's why I said there's good and then there's there's great.
To some people, it's flipped. So
these people obviously haven't tried it.
In this instance, I am discussing Coke, a cola. Okay. So the swimmers have been swimming in bacteria-laden waters. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen that.
Vomiting.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, like, it's bad.
The ER.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, the poop-filled...
With E. coli.
Is it the Sen or the Seine?
The Sen.
The Sen. Yeah, it's you think the poop-filled Willamette is bad. Like, they should not be swimming in this. And there's people that are leaving the water and just yakking and then having to go to the hospital.
And oh, by the way, they spent $1.5 billion cleaning it up only for the rainstorm to put more fecal matter in there the night of the opening ceremonies.
Yeah, one guy, one of the American swimmers joked that he was microdosing E. coli to get ready for the Olympics, which he was not. He was joking.
No.
But... yeah, so the Wall Street Journal had an article on this. Do you know what a lot of these swimmers are doing in order to try to combat the bacteria-laden waters?
Well, my guess is, from the sound of it, they're drinking Coca-Cola.
They're drinking a Coca-Cola.
And that works?
Have a Coke and a smile.
I'll just read this to you. It might seem odd that some of the fittest people in the world would reach for a sugary soda after taking a dip in polluted rivers. But among open water swimmers, there is a popular tip that has been passed down through the generations as the best way to stave off infection from whatever might be living in the water is good old-fashioned Coke.
That can't be real.
Moesha Johnson is an Australian competing in the marathon swim. She said, "The myth of Coca-Cola is true. We will often have a Coca-Cola afterwards just to try to flush out anything inside of us." Johnson isn't alone. Many swimmers swear by the powers of Coke.
Yeah, I understand that people swear by the powers of Coke. There's a lot of people that swear by the power of a lot of dumb things. Like, you know, it's like...
People swear by the power of the other Coke.
Well, just saying. Like, yeah, exactly. I can't... There's a lot of people that believe in the power of prayer. I can't pray away E. coli. So I'm going to need some... I'm going to need some double-blind studies. Where's studyfinds.org to tell me that what is the carbonation? I need something besides... It's been passed down from generations that Coca-Cola kills E. coli, because Chipotle every year would tend to disagree with you.
There are several theories. The most common is that its acidity works as quasi-bleach for the digestive tract.
It does like dissolve nickels, doesn't it?
There's just one problem with that, says Dr. Maria Abreu, the president of the American Gastrological Association. A healthy stomach is already more acidic than Coke. Meaning it would have no more ability to kill off interloping bacteria than what's already there.
Yeah.
So that one's out. Coca-Cola's most redeeming quality for endurance athletes, it's its high sugar content. It's enough to make a nutritionist cringe and keep a marathon swimmer from collapsing.
Basically, what I'm learning from this is there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to back this, and that people are just... You know, it's an old superstition. You got some E. coli, drink a Coke.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Yeah.
One guy said he does it because it gets the salt water taste out of his mouth.
Okay. And that makes sense. Like, I don't like the taste of salt water and like doo-doo in my mouth. So yeah, I would assume swigging a Coke probably helps with that. You know, in jiu-jitsu, you get a lot of skin infections. You get like ringworm and you can get staph and MRSA and all that. It's the same thing. There's a million people that swear by this or that, or you can just take a shower and then like use some Lotrimin on it. You can just use like an antifungal cream. It's the same thing. People all the time. Oh yeah. If you just do this, this, and this, or just use real medicine.
Wasn't that Did you guys? Well, you didn't watch receiver, did you?
No, the quarterback thing ruined it for me.
Buck, you watch receiver?
I watched the beginning of it to see some George Kittle, Debo Samuel stuff, and I just didn't find it as compelling as some of the other documentaries.
So, did you get through it or no?
No. Okay. I did not get through it.
So I think it was in receiver, and I think it was St. Brown's dad.
Yeah, because he's like a bodybuilding bro.
Yeah, his advice was drink a Coke.
For what?
I think he was sick. I think that...
Of course.
Yeah, I think St. Brown was sick for the game, and he was feeling like some sort of maybe like sinus infection or something. Sure. He had something going on, and he didn't feel good. And his dad was... He was texting with his dad, and his dad said... I'm telling you, drink a Coke.
There's
a lot of this stuff out there.
Yeah, I was like, wait, when you were a kid, you were told to drink Sprite, right? Sprite would settle your stomach, but Coke would make you throw up. And like, how about we just call a doctor and be like, hey, doc, I just swam through a bunch of feces water. What would you recommend? And I'm guessing, I can text Dr. Bessis right now and be like, hey, if I just swallowed a turd, what should I do? And I'm going to guarantee you that his answer is not...
Drink a Coke. Coke and a smile. Yeah, just maybe a Marlboro Light.
I just gargled some human waste. A pinch of a skull and a Coca-Cola might take care of that. What sort of backwoods-ass Doc Hollywood medicine is that? Drink a Coke.
Yeah, it says the father of Lion Star receiver is a celebrity in his own right, as he is former Mr. World Champion in weightlifting. Among his appearances during the Lions' win over the Raiders, he is captured urging his son to drink Coca-Cola instead of other drinks at halftime while dealing with a sickness. He was adamant about the energy that the soft drink would provide compared to other more well-believed suitable options such as Gatorade.
Again, back in the 70s when I was lifting weights, we just drank a Coke. That's like Len Dawson, right? At the halftime of Super Bowl I. He had a Fresca at his feet and a glass bottle, and he was smoking a heater. Gives him the calm nerves he needs to go out and lose Super Bowl I.
Yeah, they asked him about it, John St. Brown, and they said, why are you telling him that? And he says, water's not going to give you no energy. Drink that Coke. You get a little energy. A lot of people out there are going to look at this and go, oh, he's crazy. What's he talking about? Try it. Next time you're tired and you're not feeling right, drink a Coke, see what happens.
Well, so, has he heard of Red Bull?
Has he heard of caffeine? Because I think
coffee would do it too.
You can just drink caffeine. It's caffeine.
That's good times. All right.
People are the best.
It's like he doesn't know that there are 30 other alternatives.
did you ever have one of these where my late wife, rest her soul, she was wonderful, but she believed that orange juice would make the kids hyperactive. Like in the mornings... Like you'd wake up and I'd cook the kids, you know, like bacon and eggs or whatever. And I would pour them a glass of orange juice. She'd be like, no, you can't get more orange juice. I'm like, why? And like, oh, because we're going to church or whatever. And they'll be bouncing off the wall. I'm like, what? I mean, what? Orange juice? She's like, yeah. And her mom, I don't know what her mom had against orange juice. Her mom had convinced her that orange juice was like the devil's drink. And I was like, what? Orange juice? And there's all kinds of these. My parents have these where like you just get these weird things because your parents told you that. And then it's like, well, you can't. And nutrition is 100% on that. Where, you know, like, don't eat carbs, eat this. And now we've got like the intermittent fasting and everyone has the secret to everything. And now I got bodybuilding guy here being like, you're tired? Have a Coke or just caffeine. Yeah, no one can explain it. No, they can. No, science can explain it.
Caffeine and sugar makes you feel pretty good sometimes.
It's called caffeine. You're going to crash afterwards, but yeah, for a brief moment, you're going to feel great.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.